Hare Krishna. So till now, Krishna has described various aspects of Yoga Rudra stage. That is, when the person is on the high level of Ashtanga Yoga, in the stage of Samadhi. So we saw all that. Now, what Krishna is doing is, he's explaining that how to reach that stage. From Yoga Rurukshu to Yoga Rudra, how can a person reach that stage? Now this is given in Shloka number 24.
Sanishchayena yoktavyo yoga nirvinna chetasa sankalpa prabhavan kamansh tyaktva sarvana sheshatah manasaivendriya gramam vinyamya samantatah.
So here it is given that yoktavyo yogo. So one should engage in yoga, in practice of yoga. How? Nischayena, with determination and faith. And one thing he should make sure, that is, anirvinna chetasa, without getting deviated. Then, tyaktva sarvan asheshataha. One should give up completely, all. What all? All the material desires, sankalpa prabhavan kamams. So what should he give up? All the material desires, kamams, resulting from what? Sankalpa prabhavan, that is, born from mental speculation. And so at the end he says, manasa indriya gramam viniyamya samantatah. So finally, what should one do? One should control viniyamya samantatah, from all sides, from all angles. What? Indriya gramam, that is, a set of indriya, set of senses, by manasa, by using one's mind. So how can a person reach yoga rudha is all about practicing this Ashtanga Yoga with determination and faith, and controlling one's senses through the mind. This is what is very nicely, very clearly given here. Now, let's discuss this particular shloka. And this particular shloka we can easily translate to our life. And we'll try to understand that what are those important elements in our life which will help us to keep going on this path of bhakti. So here it is given that the yoga practitioner should be determined and should patiently prosecute the practice without deviation. Now this determination thing is very nice to understand. How will we get determination? We need to have intense faith in sadhya, that is goal, and sadhana, the process. So now we are doing sadhana every single day. We are chanting Hare Krishna Mahamantra. We are reading Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam. We are hearing discourses on Bhagavad Gita and Srimad Bhagavatam and other authentic bona fide Vedic literatures from realized souls. We are associating with devotees. We are honoring prasadam. We are observing fasting days like Ekadashi and few more things that we do. So when we're doing all this is our sadhana. And the main sadhana in this is Shravanam and Kirtanam, that is chanting and hearing. So this is something which is very, very important. Now this faith, intense faith should be there, that this process of bhakti is a flawless process. And just by practicing this with complete faith, what I'll be able to do? I'll be able to attain the ultimate goal, sadhya, that is Lord Sri Krishna, and serve him with lot of love and devotion for his own pleasure. Now this faith should be there, that what I'm following is perfect and what I'm following will take me back home, back to Godhead. When this faith is there, then automatically the determination will increase. When does a person get into depression? When he cannot see the goal. When he cannot see the means to achieve the goal. So when these two things are missing, that person gets into depression. That determination will all automatically go down. So this sadhya and sadhana, we should have complete faith in. Yes, goal of life is to attain Krishna, go back home, back to Godhead. And what is the process? The process is chanting of the holy names and all the other things related to this particular sankirtan or chanting. In this way, when we have this faith, intense faith, automatically we'll get the determination to practice bhakti. And that's what is given here, that one should be determined and shouldn't deviate. Many people will tell many things around. Oh, what you're doing is not proper. Oh, do this, do that. That's all okay. How do we get intense faith and understand that I'm not deviating? If we read Shastra very properly, if we understand the philosophy very properly, understand the science behind what rituals we are doing, then it will be very easy for us to have intense faith and will not get deviated, even if hundreds and hundreds of people come and tell us that we are doing something wrong. Majority might be on one side doing something. That doesn't determine that they are right. Majority might be doing something that cannot be right. Even if there are few people following Shastra and majority is not following Shastra, those few people can be considered as doing or practicing something very proper and authentic. So majority will never decide that is it right or wrong. But what will decide is it right or wrong? It is the Shastric reference, what is given in Vedic scriptures, what is given in Bhagavad Gita. One should be sure of success at the end and pursue this course with great perseverance, not becoming discouraged if there is any delay in the attainment of success. Success is sure for rigid practitioners. Now, in our life, how much we have endeavored for material things, be it while studying to score marks, or be it preparing oneself for some interview for getting some job in some corporate firm, or any other material aspect. We all have endeavored a lot. And every time when we have endeavored, it's not that we have attained success. There might be many times when we have not attained that particular goal. But the best thing in bhakti is, while practicing bhakti itself, there will be so many benefits. Like for example, when someone is preparing for interview. Now, when he's preparing for interview, he's not getting anything. Only when he cracks the interview, then when he gets that offer letter, he feels, yes, I made it. But then when a person is practicing bhakti, during that practice itself, he'll gain so many things, so many wonderful qualities, so much of clarity in life, so much of peace, so much of satisfaction. All these things will come. And these things are the proof that finally the person is going to attain that ultimate destination. So while practicing bhakti, one should be very much determined and shouldn't lose faith and hope. And one of the best things that the person can do is to always remain fired up in bhakti is always remain in the association of fired up devotees. We all need a fired up association. Then it is possible that with determination, without losing faith, will progress and march towards the ultimate goal of life, that is Lord Shri Krishna. If that association is not there, then there is a great chance to fall down from spiritual platform to something material which we were doing before. So fired up association is the key. So Rupa Goswami says, Utsahan Nishchayat Dhairyat. So how should one practice bhakti? Utsahan. Enthusiastically one should practice bhakti. Utsahan. Nishchayat, with full determination. And dhairyat, one should have a lot of patience while practicing bhakti. Seeing the current results, seeing whatever little transformations we have in our life, in our heart, we should make sure or we should have that conviction that yes, these changes I'm noticing, I'm observing, I'm feeling it. I'm surely going to attain the ultimate destination. But then, what am I supposed to do? Rigidly practice this sadhana process. Very, very important. Rigidly we have to practice bhakti. And when we do that, Krishna will help. And one very, very nice example is given in this particular purport. Now what happened is, there was a sparrow. A sparrow is a very, very small bird, as all of us know. So it laid its eggs on the ocean, on the shore of the ocean. Now when she laid her eggs in the shore of the ocean, now the waves of the ocean came and then took all the eggs inside. Now the sparrow was searching, where is it? And it understood, the ocean has taken it away. And the sparrow started telling the ocean, give back my eggs. If you don't, I will dry you up. Now a small sparrow is threatening huge ocean, whose shore cannot be seen on the other side. So ocean didn't give any importance to the statement of the sparrow. And what did sparrow started doing? With a lot of determination and confidence, the sparrow started taking the water from the ocean in its beak and going and spitting it out on the shore. Again going again to the ocean, taking the water, spitting it out, taking the water, spitting it out, taking the water, spitting it out. Even if the sparrow does this for many, many years, tell me, is it possible for the sparrow to dry up the ocean? Same thing is with us, no? When we are practicing bhakti, with so much of contamination is there in our heart, is it possible for us to attain the ultimate goal? Now the answer we might say, yeah, obviously no, because we know our state, we know how much sinful we were in the past, what sinful activities we have done. We know when we close our eyes, what we think about. We know very well when we are chanting, we're not getting taste for chanting. After knowing all this, don't we think it's almost equivalent, you know, to saying that I'll dry up the ocean, a sparrow saying I'll dry up the ocean. But then since sparrow was doing it with determination, you know what happened? This news spread all across. And the huge bird carrier of Vishnu, Garuda, he got to know this. That the small sister bird, sparrow, she is doing this particular activity and the ocean is not giving her eggs back. And Garuda came flying, flapping his huge wings. And then now he threatened the ocean. Give back the eggs of my sister or else I'll dry you up. And now Garuda can do that. Huge bird he is. And by the mercy of Lord Shri Krishna, he can do anything. So drying up the ocean is nothing. He can just flap his wings 4 or 5 times and then, you know, entire ocean will get dried up. So now the ocean literally got very much frightened and then gave back the eggs. Now, there's a very nice moral to the story. And it gives us a lot of hope. A sparrow by its own endeavor, never ever in its entire life, even till the last breath, if it would have tried to take the water, put it out, it could have never dried up the ocean. Not possible at all. But then, since it was determined to do that particular activity, it attracted the mercy, attracted the blessings of Garudadev. And by the mercy of Garudadev, everything else manifested. Similarly, in our life, now we are like that small sparrow trying to do a huge task of attaining the ultimate goal. But you know what? When we are struggling to attain the ultimate goal of life by chanting, sometimes, you know, our mind might be really turbulent and we might not at all be interested to chant the holy names of the Lord. But still, when we take up our bead bag and put our hand inside the bead bag and start chanting, even when our health is not good, mind is disturbed, some problem at home, even in all such circumstances, when we sit and chant, we are actually proving it to Krishna. Oh Krishna, I want you this very lifetime. I know I'm not qualified. I'm a sinful person. I'm the most fallen person. I know very well I'm not qualified. But oh Krishna, I have the sincere desire, intense desire to attain you this very lifetime. Oh Krishna, please help me. With this mood, if someone proves to Krishna in every single circumstance, especially in those circumstances where the situation is so critical that practicing bhakti might seem almost impossible. But still in that, someone practices bhakti intensely, that person is actually attracting the mercy of Krishna for sure. No doubt about that. So every single crisis in our life is an opportunity to get closer to Krishna. Because it's a golden opportunity. The crisis in a devotee's life is a golden opportunity to prove to Krishna that, oh Krishna, I want you this very lifetime. I want to come back to you. I want to serve you, oh Krishna. Please help me. It's a golden opportunity. So, when problems come in devotee's life, devotee is in ecstasy. Yes, I got a golden opportunity to prove to Krishna that, oh Krishna, I want you. I want to attain you this very lifetime. So, in this way, all of us, we devotees, we should be very, very enthusiastic while practicing bhakti, understanding that we are doing this bhakti, this devotional service, to please the Supreme Personality of Godhead and our Eternal Father, the Supreme Person, Lord Shri Krishna. He's so merciful that as soon as he sees the sincere desire in our heart and sincere endeavor, he does everything to take us back to Godhead. The only thing that we have to do is enthusiastically, with determination and with patience, practice bhakti every single day without getting deviated. That's it. There is nothing else now that is needed in bhakti yoga. So it is given here that If anyone follows the principle with great determination, so in Bhakti Yoga, in Krishna consciousness, it may appear a very difficult job, but if someone practices with great determination, the Lord will surely help. For God help those who help themselves. So very, very important lesson for all of us, that in the tough situations, we prove to Krishna that I want you, O Krishna, I want to come back to you, I want to serve you, by steadily, intensely practicing bhakti. So after telling this particular shloka, now Krishna is going to continue this theme to tell a very, very important thing, that one should practice with sincerity, with lot of determination. Why? Because the person has to reach the stage of Yoga Rudha. So what are the other things that those are needed to reach the stage of Yoga Rudha? Krishna is mentioning in the next shloka. So let's see that in the next video. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna.